Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shute from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Hey everyone, before we dive into today's podcast with Eric Bloat from Bloat Games, I just want to say that the VCG Podcast is brought to you because of our generous support on Patreon. If you enjoy this podcast, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/victorycondition gaming. We appreciate any amount of support that you can provide us. Every little bit helps us improve the quality of the show. Also, before we start, I just want to say that Eric from Bloat Games also just released Survive This Zombies Second Edition. It's a post-apocalyptic zombies RPG. It's similar to Vigilante City. It's in the same brand. But it is available on DriveThruRPG right now for the PDF. And then if you buy the PDF, you will also get a discount on the print of that game in October once that becomes available. So check that out. Also check out Vigilante City that is featured on this podcast. I'll put the link to the pre-sale for that game in the description of this podcast. And that's going to do it for me. Let's kick it over to my session with Eric.
Hey everyone, welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. Today on the show, I am so excited. I've got Eric Bloat from Bloat Games. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Oh man, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I've been a fan of the channel for a while now, and I keep seeing Alan get to do all these like Q&As and all this stuff. And I'm like, when am I going to get on there? So I'm happy to be here.
He's actually part of the collaboration team with this project that you've got going on, Vive This Vigilante City.
He is, yeah, most definitely. He kind of reached out to me and was asking some questions about another game that I'd done. Alan's been a cool enough guy that he's backed several of my Kickstarters, but he reached out to me and he was asking some questions, and I said, well, hey, you know, I'm doing this right now. Would you like to write some stuff? And apparently he never says no to writing, so I was able to wrangle him in and get him going on it. So
nice. Yeah, no, Alan's a great guy, great game designer. When he said that he was working on this, I was like, oh wow, this is. And then I saw what it was all about. I was like, wow, this is really cool. So I'm so glad we could get you on the show and talk about this Vigilante City. So Eric, let's talk a little bit about you and about Bloat Games. Let's talk. You said that you've done a few Kickstarters, which I think this is your fourth Kickstarter right now.
This is my fourth Kickstarter. I've kickstarted a game called Survive This Dark Places and Demogorgons. Then I did a Kickstarter for a game called the Complete Vigilante Hack. I did a Kickstarter for Survive This Zombie Second Edition, and now I'm on Survive This Vigilante City. So yeah, we're kind of trucking right along, and they've all went pretty wonderfully. I've been surprised and so grateful for all the support that the community's reached out and given me. It's been awesome.
That's great. And I was looking at your previous Kickstarters. They all seem to kind of keep building momentum. So you're on this upward track, which is really, really great to see as a Kickstarter creator.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I try to keep quality control of the games. Like, I try never to rush the stuff, although I've actually been able to release all my Kickstarters early. I try to keep a consistent quality so people know, you know, if it's got the Bloat Games logo on it, they know what type of game they're getting and stuff like that. And that seemed to bring a lot of people back. I get a lot, you know, of repeat backers, which is just awesome.
That's awesome. That's a big thing. If you can keep getting people keep coming back to you, that's always great to see. Let's talk a little bit about Vigilante City. Can you give us like the 2-minute sales pitch for this game and what it's all about?
Sure. Vigilante City is a superhero role playing game, but I always stress that it's not really a superhero role-playing game. It's more street-level superheroes. If you've ever wanted to punch a criminal in the mouth, this is a game for you. in Vigilante City, there's no, like, Superman characters. There's nobody fighting the Watcher or the Beyonder or Galactus. It's nothing cosmic-level crazy like that. It started off as a love letter to Batman, the animated series.
Nice, okay.
huge comic book nerd, but that cartoon is my favorite iteration of Batman. And then I expanded it out a little bit from there. So I included stuff like the X-Men cartoon that was also in the 90s, mm-hmm, the Spider-Man mm-hmm. cartoon of the 90s. And then I threw in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles type flavor for the game. And so really zoned in on a very narrow sector of superhero type games.
Sure.
If you're into that, you know, those cartoons, then you should definitely appreciate this game.
And who isn't into those cartoons? I mean, you just listed off probably at least my top five. There's with the exception of maybe Transformers and G.I. Joe, that's probably at least five of my top 10 or so favorite cartoons of all time.
Yeah. That was a magical period. And of course, you know, I look back on it with nostalgia, but I mean, even now, if you watch those Batman animated series cartoons, those stand the test of time. That stuff's just absolutely wonderful.
It is. You get to play, as you said, this is not a superheroes game, but you do get to play as like street level, and you can also play as just like superheroes as well. Like there's like kind of two different.
In the game, we have 21 total classes. 16 of them are what's referred to as human classes. So that's just going to be people who've had some kind of training, kind of like a Batman type character, maybe like the Punisher,
Daredevil,
something like that. But they're normal people in costumes.
Okay.
And then there's 9 classes that we refer to as mega humans, and that's going to be people who have true powers. So you're going to have like your anthropomorphs, your mutants, your mystics, your cyborgs, your speedsters, your super soldiers, you know, your scions, all that type stuff is going to fall under what we refer to as mega humans. So they're a little bit more powerful. And the game was built, though, I built it, designed it with the team. We designed it modularly, which means that, like, if you just want to go in and say you just want to emulate the Batman the Animated Series, you just pull the mega humans out. Or if you want to go in and have just like a play, just kind of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you put the anthropomorphs and the humans in, and then you pull out all the other ones, and it doesn't throw off the game. So you can really set up the superhero, the street level superhero type game that you want. So nice. It's kind of neat that way.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Sounds like that's probably one of the strong points of your game. Is would that be correct in that assumption? That
oh, definitely, yeah. And that was one of the initial intents when I first started on this project, is I wanted to make it to where people who enjoyed those cartoons and enjoyed that style of superhero game would like to or could play the exact type of game or could emulate the exact type of cartoon that they wanted. That was definitely one of the primary goals of the game.
Nice.
I think we did pretty well.
Now, would you say that your game, I've taken a look at the Dark Places and Demogorgon's book. What would you say that that your games are kind of tailored to? Are they tailored to the folks that are new to the RPG industry or the hobby, or are they kind of like they've been playing for a year? Like, where do you think your products lie?
My products lie with people who are really the people who are into the OSR style products. the system that I use is based off kind of original D&D meets, I'd say original D&D meets 5e, because 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, there's a lot of stuff where the designers who worked for Wizards of the Coast were taking that game in an OSR direction intentionally. And so really, aside from 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, if you played any version of Dungeons & Dragons, you'll be able to pick up any of my Survive This games and play them and know exactly what's going on within 5 minutes. So it's a very familiar system. So it's great for beginners. It's very familiar for people who maybe haven't been in the hobby in a long time, but they're just coming back to it. And then it's great for the diehard OSR guys who try to play every OSR game that comes out, like myself. So
nice. So we've got a couple of questions and a couple of comments. Let's see. Josh Beckelheimer says, super excited about this game, which is great. Brandonson 112 says, every time I watch Doug interview someone, I have to back a Kickstarter. That's good. That's good. I appreciate that, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brandon. I appreciate that too.
Ken says, how quick do you get into a game? Like, how long is character creation and pregame stuff?
Sure. Well, character creation for this, it kind of goes along with the old school Dungeons and Dragons. So you can make a character in about 10 to 15 minutes. It's a little more in depth than just like the original Dungeons and Dragons was, but not there's not a ton that you have to do. And we really focus on part of the design and the layout of the book is focused on streamlining that portion so you can get up and running. In fact, I say, like, if it's a game master who has, say, 5 new players, you take the first hour, you can make characters, and everybody can, that's everybody sharing a book the first hour, and then jump right in and start playing from there. So it's not like making a Rifts or a Palladium character or anything like that. You don't have a 3-hour build or anything. So.
Sure. Very cool. So this Kickstarter actually is kickstarting 2 books. You've got two products for this Kickstarter. One is the core rule book, and then the other one is a villain's handbook.
Correct. Yeah. The core rule book is going to be it's going to have everything that you need to play. It has all the rules that you need to play. Everything that's going to, you know, take your character from, you know, a blank piece of paper to a completed character. Going to have all the equipment, all the rules for combat, you know, all the rules for generation, all the rules. When it's called core rules, it's literally because all the rules are in that book. Then the villain's guide, what that's going to be, a reference for the game masters. It's going to have advice for how to run these games. It's going to have a huge city generator so the game master can generate and customize the city that they want their players to be in. And there's also going to be something that they could do with their players, or they could do it on their own, but they'll be able to build their city block by block, you know, as large as they want it, and have tons of random generation tables and stuff like that. Then you're going to get into what we call adventure seas, which are going to be kind of villain of the week type characters, bad guys. And so it's going to be, you know, 4 to 6 pages that describes a particular villain, what they do, what their intent is, and it's something that a game master can spend about 15 minutes reading and be ready to go and run the game that week. Wow. Then we got Full Complete Adventure written by James M. Spawn. We got NPC generators. We got, you know, just like stats for bad guys, like purse snatchers, whatever. Very complete. Both books are going to clock in near 300 pages.
Wow, that's some beefy books.
Yeah, that's some beefy books. Yeah, at 6x9. So it's definitely the biggest undertaking Load Games has ever taken on. But it's, most of that was due to the fact that we had to add, for the, like, the Mega Humans, we had to have a magic system. So we had to give all the rules for a magic system. We had to have all the rules for psionics. We had to have all the rules for power armors, all the rules for cyborgs. So that took up a lot more space. But even though the games are that much beefier, it's really still plays and runs like a standard OSR or Survive This type game. So
nice. The question that Brandonson has, do you think this game would be good for children around the ages 10 to 13? Is it simple enough?
Yes, I think it would be perfect for that. Especially if they've had any experience with any Dungeons and Dragons game at all. They'll know how to play this in like 5 to 10 minutes with your help. Or if not, if you got, say, a 12-year-old who's, you know, really good at really studious and likes to read, these rules are very simple for anybody to pick up. Even though there's a lot of a high page count, it's still a lighter rules game. It's not super crunchy, not super complicated. So.
Michael has a new catchphrase for you. I don't know if you're keeping an eye on the chat or not, but he says, Bloat Games, we got the beef. That's your new catchphrase, I guess, Eric.
There we go. That's going to be on a t-shirt. Definitely. We got the beef.
Oh my gosh, Michael. character. So since you said that this is the biggest undertaking for Bloat Games, you do have you're collaborating with a lot of other folks on this project. And you've got a really solid team behind you. You want to talk a little bit about who you have helping you out with this project?
Sure, sure. Well, first off, we got my right-hand man here at Bloat Games, Josh Palmer. He's done a ton of work on it. He's also the co-creator of Dark Places and Demigorgons. He's wrote several books for Bloat Games. He's working hand-in-hand with myself. This game was kind of my vision, but Josh has really taken it to the next level and helped to fill it out. Then we brought on the next person who we really contacted and was able to bring onto the team is kind of also took the game in a little bit of an unexpected direction, but was pleasantly unexpected. I was able to contact Runehammer, a.k.a. Brandish Gilhelm. He is the gentleman behind the Index Card RPG games, and he's done a ton of artwork. He came on as the sole artist. I wanted to have the game have a unified look, and I think his art is probably the best art going in role-playing games right now. And sure. I was blown away when he did it, and he and I developed a very, very good working relationship where I could trust him. I could say, I need a character that looks like this, or I need this type of character, and I didn't have to tell him a ton of stuff, and what he would give me every time is kind of what I was thinking. And so we end up having a ball just coming up with characters and concepts and stuff like that. In fact, he drew some stuff where I was like, okay, well, we're adding that to the game. That is now part of the game. So he was brought on. Also brought on Alan Barr from Gallant Knight Games. He did some writing with us.
Nice.
Then we got Jason Shane and Jody Brandt. They both did writing for Bloat Games in the past. Jody Brandt's also he has the Questwise channel over on YouTube. You can check him out. Brought on Jeff Cape, who has a YouTube channel, God Emperor Leto II. He did a ton of writing for us. We unlocked some stretch goals. So I have James M. Spawn from Barrel Rider Games, any award-winning James M. Spawn. He's wrote for just about everything, the Star Wars, the One Ring, Adventures in Middle Earth. He's kind of done work for everybody. He came on and wrote an entire adventure for us. And then it looks like we're going to be unlocking probably a little bit later today, maybe tomorrow, Brandon Aiden from Wedding Games. Is coming on board. He's going to be writing a mini setting called Anthropomorph Island. So it's going to be an island in the middle of the city that's where the anthropomorphs get banished to. So kind of an island of Dr. Moreau-ish type thing.
That's one stretch goal that once you announced it, I was really excited about that because I like Dr. The Isle of Dr. Moreau anyway. So like that just clicks with me. So I was like, yes, we've got to unlock this stretch goal. So I'm excited that's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that one too. So this was the most collaborative we've been at Bloat Games. A lot of the earlier games was just me writing them. And then Josh came on and slowly we've been able to bring a few people into the fold each time. And with this one, also Matt McLeod, I knew I was forgetting somebody. I was sitting here going, there's somebody else. And when Matt McLeod was able to come on and write with us, So it's been a very fun process. It's a great learning process to oversee a project of this size with that many hands in the pot. But it's turned out wonderfully. So I couldn't be happier.
That's awesome. That's great. And it sounds like a lot of the folks that have come on are fans of what you've put out previously. So when you've got folks that love your games almost as much as you do, or as much as you do, that makes things a lot easier too, because they all want to see you succeed.
It does. Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that because, yeah, some of the guys know my games better than I know them. Because I'm always creating games, and so different games have different rules. And sometimes I'll say something, they'll be like, oh, no, that's not what the book says. I'm like, oh, crap, you're right. So nothing like being corrected on your own game.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's see here. Kent Blue from Roll to Play Podcast, who we'll give him a little shout out because he's doing some great actual play podcasting over there on Roll to Play. Says, sounds like this game supports one shots easily enough.
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. I mean, in fact, with our adventure seeds, they're intended to be, you know, villain of the week type thing to get you in and out. We give you just enough information for the game master to be able to fit a few puzzle pieces together and go. And so it's intended to be like you can have ongoing campaigns, but typically most of our stuff is wrapped up the same night. So even though you may have an ongoing campaign, it's usually a different villain each time you get together. It's kind of set up that way based on like the episodes of the cartoons. So each sure. episode had its own villain, its own theme for that episode. And then the same characters will be back next week to do something else. And that's how the game's set up as well. So one shots is perfect for.
Nice. Very cool. So you said that each book is about 300 pages.
Correct.
Because of the fact that now that you've unlocked some content with the stretch goals and everything, you have a target date of June 2019.
Mm-hmm. So I believe we'll be well ahead of that. That's with all my games, I always put the target dates really quite ways out this is my fourth Kickstarter. But I put out, at this point, I believe, 19 role-playing game products. And with that experience, I've learned that there are things that happen that are just out of your control.
Sure.
And I never want to be the guy who disappoints anybody. So that is when you see the June of 2019, that is the absolute worst-case scenario. That means some seriously bad things have happened. I plan on getting that information to you a lot sooner. In fact, for the people who are backing, you'll be getting a version of the core rules about a month after the Kickstarter campaign ends. Now, I tell you, this layout's not will not be complete. It's going to have typos. It's going to be ugly, but it's going to be all the rules you need to get going and get playing. Nice. So it'll be the book in order. And then as we go through and whittle it down and get it ready for print, it'll be updated from time to time. And then once it's ready for print and locked, then we'll jump in and start doing the same thing for the villain's guide. So you're definitely not going to get back it and then have to wait and not hear anything until June of next year. It's going to be an ongoing process. And I'm also pretty good about staying in contact and keeping everybody updated so that we're all on the same page. Because I know what it's like to back a Kickstarter and mm-hmm. then hear nothing about it. And so I don't want to do that to anyone else.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse than, you know, somebody going silent on Kickstarter as soon as you pledge and that campaign ends and then you're just sitting there wondering what's going on. So it's nice that you make sure that doesn't happen. Let's talk a little bit about, your PDF, fulfillment's going to be through Drive-Thru, RPG.
Yes.
One of the stretch goals for the campaign was an upgrade in the page quality for the book. Is that correct?
That was actually two separate stretch goals because of the two different books, and both of those have already been hit. So the people who are getting the physical copies through the Kickstarter are going to be getting a much higher quality than the print-on-demand versions that are going to be released later through DriveThruRPG and through Lulu. You're going to be getting 80-pound high-gloss paper. It is a black and white interior, but this paper is phenomenal. On our first Kickstarter, Dark Places and Demigorgons, our hardbacks had this upgraded paper inside. I got nothing but wonderful compliments. I'm pleased, super pleased with it. So I'm very glad that has been unlocked. And so, yeah, anybody who backs at the physical level, you will be getting a better product than you'll be able to get later on down the road. So
excellent. So that's a great incentive for folks to back the Kickstarter. Let's talk a little bit about the pledges themselves. You've got a whole bunch of different ones. I'm just going to focus on the few that I think are really kind of your sweet spots, if you don't mind. There's a $17 pledge for the PDF for both books. So that's 600 pages for $17.
Yeah, I try to, you know, I grew up very, how shall we say, there wasn't money to be had in my family, especially to spend on something like role-playing games. And so I always try to have an option that if people who want to play these role-playing games, I try to find a way that they can get in. I think $17 for two full books is, I hope that's something that people can scrape together. And if for whatever reason, if it's not, and you can hear my voice, contact me. We will find a way to work something out. So I don't want anybody ever to not be able to partake in my games because cash is an option. So I try to keep that very low each time I do it.
That's very commendable. That's awesome, Eric. I love that. And that's kind of one thing that I really like about this hobby in general is that there's a really low barrier for entry. You know, you can usually get, you know, there's actually free games online that folks create and they just post it and you can play them. You know, you just print them off or download the PDF and you get to play. And, you know, it's not like you're buying a $100 board game and having it. I mean, you can. I mean, that's not the. But I mean, there are options that you can play RPGs and not have to spend a whole lot of money if you don't want to.
Right.
So $17 is the PDF for both books. There's a $34 option, which still is a heck of a deal for the print copies for both books plus the PDFs. And then shipping, of course, is charged after the campaign, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that those are probably the two sweet spots. And I think those, if I remember correctly, are the ones that are backed the most.
By far.
You also had a stretch goal for a Redbox edition. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's really kind of neat. And you've got some really great response on that pledge.
Definitely. Well, I, you know, when I first got into publishing these games, one of my favorite things growing up is I used to have the Frank Mincer Red Box for Dungeons and Dragons, and I loved it. And I said, I want my own box set. And we finally made it to a level to where that's something that's an option that we have is we can make a box set. So with this game, there's a $75 level where you can get the our red box, which is going to include both books, but they're going to come in an exclusive red cover that's only available through the Kickstarter. There's also going to be a dice set. There's going to be a coloring book, a T-shirt, some other goodies, all for $75. And then if you want to place, you can then upgrade your bid to $150, and you're going to be able to create three villains for the villain book, or vigilantes for the villain book. And you'll also be able to have one of those drawn by Runehammer. So your character will have art in the book based on his interpretation of your description of the character. So you get one piece of art, three pieces of or three characters that you can add to the campaign that will be permanently in the book. So it's pretty neat, I think.
That's a very cool pledge and a very cool offering to offer that to folks, because I always like, you know, Kickstarters are all about community and getting folks behind your product and their project, and so when folks can have the ability to kind of influence that product even more. Or project even more. That I think that's really cool that when creators do that. Now there is one other pledge that I want to talk about because it is the coolest pledge, and I wish my budget, my VCG budget, could do this, because if it could, I would totally jump on this pledge. You have a $250 pledge. Let's talk about this, Eric, because I think it is super, super cool, and you've got a couple folks that have already pledged for it. Tell me about your $250 pledge.
All right, so the $250 pledge, that is a lifetime subscription to Bloat Games. Any role-playing game that Bloat Games makes for the duration of however long we are in business, which I plan to be here for quite a while, you will receive a complimentary PDF, no cost to you, for the lifetime of the company. So if we release 12 games next year, you're getting 12 games plus all the games we've already released. So, and like I said, I believe that's at 19 RPG products right now on the market. So, yeah, any role-playing game that we do, you get it in PDF. So, and that's for the lifetime of the company.
That's really, really cool. You know, and the way you've been doing Kickstarters, like, what's the rate of your Kickstarters at this point? You're almost doing at least one a year or more now.
More than that, yeah. No, we've done four. This is our fourth one in under a year. So
fourth one in under a year?
Yeah, fourth Kickstarter in under a year.
Wow, no kidding. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. That's awesome.
So, and it's Bloat Games started off just me, and then very quickly became just me and Josh, and we're growing along and really dedicating. This is something that, you know, we decided to do, and we wanted to do it and do it right. So we've been going at it kind of full steam ahead. So
that's awesome. Well, that's awesome. It's great when folks can do something they love. And I know you're not, you know, like I say, on a lot of these sessions, RPG books aren't going to make you a whole lot of money, no. You know, as far as, you know, you're not going to be able to buy, you know, luxury items and all this and that. It's mostly when folks put out an RPG, they're doing it because they love the hobby. They love, they have some sort of special tie with the RPG community. Mm-hmm. It's more a labor of love than it is to make a whole lot of money, but it's awesome that you get to do something that you really love and actually make at least a little bit of income about it in doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when I got into this, I decided day one, that I wasn't going to pay myself. That I was just going to reinvest it all back in the company. And so far that's worked out wonderfully. Mm-hmm. And it really makes me feel pretty good that we are having the success that we're having, and, you know, being able to license or to commission an artist the caliber of Runehammer to do all the art for 200-300 page books is something that I never saw coming. So it's working out great. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. I love seeing folks succeed. So I'm so happy that you're having this great success, and I can't wait to get these books in my hand and here in less than a year. Okay, so here we go. We got a couple really good questions. From one's from Kent again. Do you have any future materials planned for Vigilante City? Now that he's not even your this Kickstarter hasn't even ended yet, and he's already wondering if you're going to have more. But I'm going to say, like, you have some really strong, you've had a really great positive reaction to this Kickstarter. I'd be surprised if you didn't already have plans, but you can tell me whether or not that's the case or not.
All right. Well, Survive This, which is, it's Survive This, Vigilante City. Survive This is definitely our flagship game line. So when Dark Places and Demigorgons, Survive This, Dark Places and Demigorgons came out, based on the popularity of that, we've been able to release, I believe, six supplements to date, in addition to the core book. And that was in October of last year that came out. So with this one, this is actually our most popular and most successful Kickstarter to date. So there's definitely going to be additional stuff. In fact, one of the stretch goals is for us to immediately, as soon as we are finished with this Kickstarter, to immediately launch another Kickstarter for books 3 and 4, which would be Survive This, Vigilante City, Vigilante Team Up, and then Survive This, Vigilante City Into the Sewers. So
nice, I like that. Okay.
So no, we are definitely planning on supporting this. Also, Vigilante City, we have opened it up the license. that it can be the third party publishers can put out their own stuff, sell it, and all be, you know, compatible with Vigilante City. And I've had multiple people contacting me. So there's going to be not just through Bloat Games, though there'll be a lot of, there'll be plenty of official support, but there's also going to be lots of, you know, third party support for this game as well. So I don't foresee it going anywhere anytime soon.
Excellent. That's actually the question that Josh had. He said he wondered if third party support was addressed, and now it just was.
Yeah,
it's like you're in tune with what folks are already requesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you get a chance to visit the Kickstarter, if you go into the updates, you will see that there's that one of the updates, I can't remember, it's like update 4 or 5. It addresses that and it tells all about like what that is and stuff like that. But yeah, no, we that was one of the goals, is we wanted to make something kind of like a Mutants and Masterminds or a Icon, something where everybody was able to make their characters and their material for this game. Nice. And be able to sell it. And that was one of our intentions when we started the project too. So
Jason says, look at Doug with his hands. The man is practically salivating at getting a scoop here. Oh man, I have the greatest people that watch and are part of this VCG community. But yes, I love it when I get exclusive information on the show, because it's like, hey, you know, let's tell folks as much as possible what we've got going on. And it looks like Michael's very excited about third party support, which is cool, because I know he loves the idea of hopefully supporting some of these games, because I love it when creators, again, I love it when creators open that up to let other folks kind of play in their world and have as much support, you know, and not when you can let folks join in your vision and still support that's really special, and that's awesome. And that's one thing I really like about the RPG community as well, because there's a lot of publishers that do that. So that's awesome. Jason's swearing that I was rubbing my hands together like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. I don't recall doing that, but maybe I was. Maybe I was. I'll have to go back and watch it and see if that was the case. Oh man, I tell you. Anyway, so yeah, that's all the questions that I had for you, and I'm really excited about this project. I think it's great, and I can't wait to see what books 3 and 4, because I know that you're going to unlock them, because that's going to happen, because I think at this point people are demanding more Vigilante City, you know, product.
Yeah, there's quite a bit, you know, when we hit the, you know, going to be 300 pages a piece for the first two books, I thought, oh, this is going to, people are going to be just so overwhelmed with all this new material. But no, immediately the question was, when are you going to write more?
So hey, that's good.
So, yeah.
Eric, where can folks find you online? Are you doing any conventions at all coming up? Or are you, you're just going to be sitting writing, you know, 300 page books for the next, you know, yes, few months?
Somehow I still make it out to some conventions. I know that we're doing GaryCon this coming nice. March.
Yeah.
We're doing a Con on the Cob in November, the Imaginarium in October. I'm going to try to sneak up to Gen Con for a day. I don't have a booth or anything at that one, but I'd like to just sneak up there and meet some people who I'm friends with online.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'll be doing that as well. We got some other smaller conventions that are more local to Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we're based out of. But you can find me online really at www.bloatgames.com, or just check out Bloat Games on Facebook, on G+. I'm on YouTube, Eric from Bloat Games, where I ramble about my love of RPGs and all things nerdy. So
no, that's good.
Yeah, hit us up on any of the social media. Not on Twitter. Can't find me on Twitter.
I was going to say, I tried to tag you on a tweet when right before we went live. I couldn't find it. I'm like, wow, I don't think Eric's on here. What's going on?
I'm not. Yeah, it's one of those things I haven't made it to yet. So I've I'm on Instagram, on just about all the other ones, but no Twitter, no MySpace. So
there's only, you know, I can totally relate to it. There's only so many hours in a day to keep up with all the social media. So yeah, I can see, you know, maybe missing Twitter if you were to miss one. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Support Eric and Blow Games as much as you're able to. He's just cranking out these RPGs. Like, I can't believe that you've done four in under a year. That just blows my mind. And I just shows you the dedication that he has to putting out you know, all these projects and making sure that they're a success. So I'm really excited to see what you've got going on in 2019 and beyond, Eric. And Eric, you're gonna have to come on, and once Survive This Vigilante City is ready for release, we'll have to do an actual play of it on the channel, and you'll have to come on and GM it. How's that?
Sounds wonderful. I'd love to.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Folks, that's gonna do it for us tonight. All right, that's gonna do it for me. My name is Doug. This is Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time.